One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Hims. More on that later. Let's get into the dew.
You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here at Studio Jeans doing it at your mom's house. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. Head over to my website. Make sure you sign up for the email list. Check out my in-town dates. And I just want to say thank you to everybody. And Tom Segura, of course, out on a Take It Down tour. We were in Des Moines. And then, Lincoln, Nebraska, where I had the time of my life, made two field goals on your stadium, Huskers. I'm still ready. This right leg stays ready. Minneapolis, Sioux City, and Fargo. So thank you all. And I know, like, you guys listened to Two Bears, and they were talking about me posting the private jet pictures on Instagram. Yeah, anytime I'm on a private jet, it's going on Instagram, okay? And you guys should be worried about Tom Segura. His spending habits right now are out of control. He didn't want me to say anything. That's every time I go with him. He is on a private jet. The tour bus, it's fantastic. But the truth is, Tom just gets on it to shit. He doesn't even ride it. He gets an SUV that follows the tour bus. It's just money pissed away. And it's actually two SUVs because he doesn't want you to know which one he's in, like he's fucking some kind of diplomat. So hit him up on social media. Let him know you're seriously concerned about his spending habit. This is what happened to MC Hammer. This is how people go broke, guys. So glad to be a part of it. Glad to see you all out there. Go to RyanSickler.com. The Honeydew Podcast.com is the website for here. You get your merch there, social media links, all that stuff. If you're new to the show, I say every week we highlight the lowlights. And these are the stories behind the storytellers. And our guest today is none other. It's first time here on The Honeydew. I'm very excited. Jeff Dye, everybody.
Thanks
Jeff Dye.
Thanks for having me. We'll put in applause, right?
A bunch of it.
Yeah, I want him to really think it was like a stadium.
Welcome to The Honeydew, my friend.
Thanks for having me, my man.
Before we get into, and we've got some pretty interesting stuff to talk about, before we get into it, please plug, promote everything, social media, dates, whatever you want.
Yeah, I have a podcast called Jeff Dye's Friendship Podcast. It's on all things comedy. It's wherever you get your podcast, iTunes. Go to that. Also, jeffdye.com on all my social media is just my name, JeffDye. Touring every weekend for the last 14 years.
You really are.
I'm the road dog, man.
You are every weekend.
I'm like club comic.
It's unbelievable.
It's a lot. You did that.
Nothing like that.
You guys are
nothing
doing theaters
like that.
And buses.
Only because I'm with Tom
planes.
And his unhealthy spending
That's
habits.
Great, though. I'm jealous. That's the way to live it.
I mean, it's something
I
else.
Thought, I mean, like, I remember 8 years ago being like, I'm getting a little burnt out. And I wish my manager had been like, don't worry, it's going to be 12 more years of this, I think. You know, don't get burnt out yet. You know, you should pace yourself.
But you are. You're out there.
Every weekend, yeah.
Is your NBC show still on?
We're in hiatus right now.
You are?
And I'm working on like a few little other things, trying to get that some stuff cooking.
Tell them about that NBC show. Just so strangely fascinating to me that anyone even created this and it's doing well.
It's really weird. Well. Yeah, like we had record-breaking ratings for the first and second season, but it's me, right? Young comparatively. Terry Bradshaw.
Yep.
William Shatner, 88 years old, Henry Winkler, and George Foreman, and we travel the world.
It's just insane.
It's the weirdest combo.
You guys
yeah.
travel the world and just have a show about it.
You know how humiliating it is? Like, literally every day goes, people, like strangers go, hey, you're that guy from that show. I'm like, yeah, that's me. And they're like, how'd you get on it? It's like, It's nothing more.
Right.
I think that,
get everybody else. It's you that's got me puzzled.
Which is really funny because, getting recognized, there's no better feeling. There's no better feeling. Someone going, I know you. And you're like, yeah, that's me. And then they just hit you with, we get those guys, but you, you're young and not famous or rich. We'd never heard of you, you piece of crap.
That's great. So you're on hiatus. There may be another season.
There could
you don't
be.
Know
we don't know what's going on. NBC. Great. Everything in TV takes forever.
Yeah.
It's the worst. You'll just not hear anything for 6 months. And they're like, all right, you're going to Japan tomorrow. You're like, what? Oh, I'm back. I'm relevant again. It's tricky.
So I reached out to you about some stories. We took a little walk and talked. And you really dropped some stuff on me that I'm blown away. I had no idea. So why don't we start simply with where you're from?
Yep.
And then I want to talk about, what I want to talk about.
Well, when I was, I grew up in just south of Seattle, Washington. Very liberal place, very pro arts.
Is that where you started comedy too,
uh-huh.
Seattle?
Yeah. Okay. Which was a hard place to start comedy.
Yeah. It's a great scene up there. It's competitive. There's a lot of talent up there, I think.
It's tricky. It's it's a very clicky.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're not the type of comic, at least it was then. I shouldn't say that it is now because I can't speak for what it is now. I haven't been there for 11 years. But at the time when I started comedy there, if you didn't have an old hat from the vintage store and you weren't trashing George W. Bush, you might as well have been the biggest hack on the planet to them. So I'm going up there and talking about kids and dogs because that's all I know. And everyone's like, what is this cookie cutter bullshit? When's he going to go hard on the politics? And I was like, I don't know nothing about politics.
Right, I'm not.
I don't know that stuff. So that was hard. But growing up in Seattle, like I said, it's a very liberal area, very pro-arts, very fun place to grow up. I had a kind of a late start. I was a little bit of a late bloomer for sure.
Yeah, and what happened? And what do you mean, please clarify, by late
what
bloomer?
What happened?
Yeah, what happened?
I told them that I didn't learn to read till I was about 20 years old.
I've never met anyone that didn't learn to read until in their 20s.
What happened was...
I've known you for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, did you say this on the Crab Feast? I can't remember.
No, I used to keep this a secret.
Okay.
I used to not tell people because, one, it's embarrassing. And then two, it's I think that's why I'm able to come up with good jokes, or I'm able to come up with ideas and things, and maybe even when I'm not trying to be funny, people think I'm being funny, but that's just the way my brain works. Sometimes people look at me what are you, 8? I'm like, oh, that's kind of the education level.
I wasn't even reading yet. But I'm saying, what I mean, what happened is how were you prevented from learning to read until you were in your 20s?
A perfect marriage of being, one, lazy, two, indifferent to trying to learn, and then I did later find out that I have dyslexia and I have a mental kind of flaw when it comes to concentration and things like that. I don't want to say OCD because I feel like everyone has OCD, or is that what? No, ADD.
ADD.
That's what I was gonna say, not OCD. Different letters. And so what happened was, all the kids, I was really good at making friends. I was really good at being silly and making everyone laugh. So what happened was, kids would just help me with my, they would just do my homework.
But weren't your parents pushing you?
My parents were never around. They didn't care.
They didn't know, you're driving by down the street, kids start reading signs and shit. You weren't doing that. They weren't, this motherfucker don't know what hardware
store is. Actually, if you drive around with me now, it's very funny. Sometimes my friends, it's happened. It doesn't
say,
happen often.
What's that say?
No, but you'll see me, if we're being quiet in the car, I'll be like, merge. And they're like, you're reading out loud again. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot.
I'm still new. I'm still new.
I was still practicing small words. It's so embarrassing. So what happened was, once you got to a certain point of people just helping me do my homework and people helping me cheat and me masking it, I actually talk about it in my act a little bit now, where everyone just thought I was a legend. Nobody cared to look into it. Maybe this guy's misbehaving.
That's what I'm saying. No one.
Nobody.
No teachers.
I had
no
a few
counselors.
Teachers.
Nobody stepped in there.
Well, I was turning in homework. Because
kids were doing it for you.
Exactly. I had really good friends who would kind of shelter me from the embarrassment of not. I remember once, Jeff,
in your 20s, did you get through college without knowing how to really read?
Dude, I didn't go to college. I didn't even What college is letting me in?
Couldn't even read the goddamn exam to get in.
And they'd be like, hey, man, did you graduate high school? I was like, I don't think so.
Here?
I just stopped going when the rest of them went.
At your name. You put your name there. It says first, last. It's right
That's
here.
What okay. I was learning. All right. I actually knew how to write my name, and I could write my phone number.
So that was what I was going to ask.
I just memorized
it. You couldn't read,
it.
But you could write?
Yeah.
Or
I couldn't write.
You couldn't write
there were certain things you need to know.
Into your 20s.
I had a little thing in my wallet that had my address on it and my name. But it'd be like if you drew a monkey 40 times in a row, and then someone's like, hey, what's your monkey? And then you just memorized how to draw that monkey. That's what I was doing with the symbols in my address, my phone number, and my name.
The symbols.
I just like memorized it. Like, that's the J one, I think. And then that's my name. For
really?
Sure. Yeah. And luckily, I have a 7-letter name, so that was kind of easy. But so what happened was, after a while, it kind of didn't become a problem. I never graduated high school.
You didn't?
Never got my diploma, never anything.
GED, nothing?
Nothing.
How? What did you do? Just quit?
I just stopped going when they stopped going. And then
who's they? Everybody else
my
was
classmates.
Still going.
No, my classmates, when they graduated, I just stopped going. Because I was like, I'm not going to hang out with these young kids.
Oh, you mean you were younger than them and like they were a year older, and when they graduated, you just said, fuck it?
Yeah. Is that what you mean? Yeah, no, like when the people that I was, so I kept going with the same grades as everyone else.
Right.
But I didn't have enough credits to graduate. So the people that, when my classmates stopped going, because they go on to college or they go into like the workforce,
you just said, fuck
I was like, I guess I'm not going anymore. I'm not going to hang out with these young bucks.
How many credits shy are you of a high school diploma?
Could be 100, could be 10.
Like
I have
a gym
no
class.
Idea.
What if it's a gym class? Would you go back and do it?
No way, dude.
Come on. I'll go do it with you.
If it was just a gym class, that'd be easy. But
if,
I'm going to guess it's
school,
a lot of math,
if
a lot
you're
of
high
history.
School, what's your high school?
A lot of science. And you won't want to be in that class with me. I'll be like, Ryan, here.
What's your high school? I'll be passing it to somebody else, too.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your high school?
Kentwood High School.
Kentwood High School. If anyone from Kentwood High School will allow Jeff Dye to get his high school diploma by passing one gym class or just like a test, I'm in it with you.
You're inviting a nightmare, though.
I'm in it with
do
you.
This. I'm
one
getting the sweats.
It's like
just
the presidential physical fitness test. We got to do some push-ups and pull-ups.
Yeah, climb a rope.
Got to run a mile in a certain amount of time, probably. Climb a rope.
Yeah, that's the hard one.
I feel like we could still do that.
I could still do that. But well, I'm saying, like, they're going to give... They're gonna
Kentwood!
They're going to hit
Let's
us
get
with
this
like,
man some paper.
Hey, do you know your multiplication? And I'll go, oh, God.
It's not necessary.
I hope not.
You're successful without all that. That's proof. But you know what? You could use it a little bit. We all could. Some physical activity. So
I agree with that. Wait, so your daughter, though, like, she, what's her learning right now? Like, is she...
She's reading, Jeff.
I know. She's already ahead of me. She's already ahead of me.
She's reading, bro.
It's humiliating. But what about, like, math and stuff?
Yeah,
is there math?
We were just—I was pumping gas last night. We were just doing math. We're on everything under 10 and under. So 1 and 1, 5 and 5, 4
oh, I got
and 3,
that. I got those
7 and 2s.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, we're on that right now.
She's about to turn five. She's about
though.
To lap me though.
But I'll she's been you. Reading for a few months now. These little starter books. I can give them to you. They're called Bob.
I don't
Check
want
out
them.
These Bob books.
I don't want them. That's why. At a certain point in my life. I realize this is problematic, especially if I
want
to be.
What point? That's what I want to say.
It's about 20.
But I mean, what moment? Because you're telling me that principals, teacher after teacher, I mean, how this gets through is blown. This is like these athletes in college that pay people to take their exams and shit for them so they can play football or basketball or baseball.
I was like that, except nobody was pushing me through anything. They were just kind of ignoring me. It's not like I got a diploma.
And it's not like you were a troublemaker, so they were like, just get them the fuck out of here or anything like that. You just coasted through.
No, I got suspended a lot. I was a pretty problematic child.
Oh, you were?
Like the teacher would be like, Jeff, come read in front of the class. And I'd be like, no. And then the whole class would laugh. Like, Jeff's so funny. But the reason I was saying no is because I couldn't read. And then the teacher would be like, Jeff, I wasn't asking you. I was telling you, come read in front of the class. And then I'd like panic. And I'd be like, reading is gay. And then I'm like,
flip my desk.
Yeah. And then all the kids would like put me on their shoulders like, he's a legend.
We'll carry it to the principal's office.
He's our leader now. So there was a lot of that. Like that was kind of what it was like. It's like I was rewarded for being this like silly, playful, over-the-top clown.
And in this 20 years, that's a great example. I was going to, it never snagged you anywhere along the line where people are like, this guy don't know how to, do you think that teacher knew?
I think teachers that knew didn't care. And I think teachers that, then most of them just didn't know. And my parents were just like, my parents aren't bad people. They're just never around. They were just working and they just didn't care. I don't think they wanted kids. I don't know. And so, and my oldest sister, she knew about it. I would tell her all the time. And she'd try to help me, but then she would get frustrated because she's not a teacher or a mom.
Yeah.
So she would just be like, I don't know. Even my tutor, name's Rachel.
What's up, Rachel?
When I was 20 years old, she was hot too. She was 20 years old. I was a virgin at the time, so that was like kind of like
we're,
I thought
gonna
everyone
get
was
we're
hot.
We're going to get into
I
that
thought everyone
too,
was
yeah.
hot. Yeah. And so, but when Rachel would teach me how to read and write, I kind of talked about this on Kelsey's Wrists of Fury, but she would be like, all right, A is ah. I was like, all right. But I'm just like looking at her boobs, you know?
Yeah. What's B? Boobs.
Yeah. But then she would get to like C. Ah. And she's like, C is a cuss sound. And I was like, okay. So I'm trying to like learn. And then we get to K. She's like, K is a cuss sound. And I'd be like, nah, C's already doing that job. And then I remember her getting actually like, you're not going to argue your way out of this. Like, I was like, I wasn't even trying to learn. I was just trying to like be silly and like figure out. And she's like, no, can you just try and learn? It was like very difficult. And even now, like, I read horribly, but it's at least I'm working on it. Yeah.
All right. So you escape all these opportunities of reading. I mean, we used to have to read out loud in class all the time. And even though, you know, you knew how to like, I would sit there and compare myself to how other people read. I'm like, I can read better than this guy. And then a girl would read. I'm like, I cannot read better than her. She is a good fucking reader.
Yeah, we all did that. Yeah. I was just panicking and sweating blood going, it's coming to me soon. Oh, it's coming to me soon.
And every time you figured a way to deflect and move on.
One time I would just, like, I actually recall
one
this time
I punched
really
the kid in his face.
Boom, do I get to go to the office?
I'm not reading shit, guys. Yeah, we're like, fuck Ranger Rick. I'm going to
dodge that bullet, and I get a week off of school.
I mean, man, that blows me away, that it got by for so long.
One time I just ranted about, like, I don't remember, it was like about the Seattle Mariners or something. Pretending I was reading and just ranting about the Mariners, like being like, Rich Amarillo came up in the third inning, and of course he struck out. And then the next batter, and the teacher's like, Jeff, read the actual book, you know? And then all the classmates are laughing, and then she would just kick me out because they all just thought I wasn't taking it serious.
Right.
They didn't know there was an actual problem. I deflected it all, which makes for a great comedian.
It does, but for 18 years, it makes for shitty teachers in that goddamn school system one of them to figure it out, or if they did, to actually care. I mean, if I was a teacher and I even didn't like you, I'd be like, look, put him in fucking reading. Just
but you're
put
a good
him in
guy.
Remedial reading.
And this is what makes
and make him do it.
One, you're a good guy.
Thanks, Jeff.
You are. It's genuinely a good guy. And I also I say this about a lot of artists and entertainers. We get accused of being selfish, which we are, or like narcissistic, which we are. But we've chose a profession that we love.
Yeah.
And that's because we can link our heart with something that we want to do. We think everyone is like that. You wonder why a Starbucks employee doesn't give a shit, and we're like, why don't they care about their job? You know, or like, why doesn't the teachers care?
Right.
A lot of people doing their jobs that they don't
You're
care
right about.
About.
That.
At
you
least,
are right.
As selfish as we are, we love what we do, and we take it very serious. And so, like, they just don't care, especially in public school. Like, they were just like, I don't know, let that kid be a jackass. Watch, he'll be in jail, or he'll get, he'll get a crappy
He's
factory
a throwaway.
Job.
He's
they
a honeydew. Care. You're a honeydew. All right, so you're 20 years old, and what happened?
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Happens where you finally go, fuck it, I need to start learning how to
I wanted
read.
To be a comedian. And I wanted to be a comedian, and they were like, oh, comedians are writers. And I didn't know what a stand-up comedian really was. I thought that you'd have to be on Saturday Night Live because I liked Chris Farley and all those guys. Mm-hmm. And I thought, like, oh, I want to do that. And they're like, well, they write sketches. And they're like in a writer's room. And just every time they would say writing, I would just get this like thing like, oh, God, but I don't know how to do that. And so I vulnerably just like I went down to the University of Washington. I was like living on campus. Obviously, I didn't go there. But there was like these tutor things. And I think that they were tutoring college classes.
Wait, you live
on campus.
Even if you're not a student, you can live on campus?
Well, it's not technically on campus, like in the U district.
Oh, gotcha.
So like it was like on the Greek row or whatever.
Yep,
so I don't know if that's considered campus. That shows how little I know about college. I was like, I think I was on campus.
It's off campus. Don't worry, it's off campus. If you're not on the campus,
it's
you're off the
campus. It's called the University Starbucks. I think I was on campus. It says university.
You're campus adjacent is what it sounds like to me.
By the freeway called the University.
The University
on-ramp.
Freeway.
So I went to the thing and I ripped this little piece of paper off of a thing that said that they would tutor. And I was like, this is great. And there was tons of people trying to make not quick cash, but like, you know, under the table cash for like tutoring. And when I met with her, she thought I went to the University of Washington, and I was living with like 12 other guys at the time in this giant house. We each had like our own bedrooms in this big house, but we were all friends. And they were my Young Life leaders, actually, two or three of them. That's how I learned about the house. But then when she came over, she goes, oh, what do you need help on? I was like, hey, I don't know how to read. And she's like, what? Like, she thought I'd bust out like university books and be right. like, oh, here's trigonometry or right. whatever
yeah.
class. And then she was like, are you serious? And I was like, yeah. And I want to learn this book. And it was Judy Carter's like stand-up comedy
yeah,
Bible.
I know. I saw
and that's
that book.
They just hand to everyone, which to you or maybe some other like big comedians, like it would be kind of trivial crap. But to me, it was like this like secret cup of like formulas. Like, oh, if I learn this, not only did I read my first book, but I can like learn how to put jokes into formulas.
I started reading that book. And if I'm correct, the first page I think says, were you the class clown, or did you always secretly know you were funnier than the class clown? I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and there's something in there. I don't remember it well because it was like, you know, like I said, 14, 15 years ago. But the thing was like saying like, I can't teach you how to be funny, but I can teach you like how to make your thoughts and ideas in
structure,
the formula. Yeah, structured. Yeah. And I remember thinking like, that's great. I know how to be funny. I just need to learn these structures. But for me, I had to like learn how to read.
So the first book you learned how to read was a book about stand-up comedy?
No, there was like two or three little books that she made me read.
Like what? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. The Vampire Who Stayed for Christmas. And the reason I picked that book.
The Vampire Stayed for Christmas.
He was there for Halloween. But then he stayed.
You know
for
what?
Christmas.
I like turkey, so fuck yeah. it. I'm going to be here for
you
Thanksgiving.
You should cover that book. If you can Google that book, that vampire's a sweetheart.
The Vampire Stayed for Christmas.
You got to Google that book, man.
What? There it is. What is what reading level is that?
No, that's not the cover.
That's
obviously.
The vampire who came for Christmas. Yeah. Part two sounds yeah. like he stayed.
They made him look like a creepy teenager. No. He's an old vampire. He's like a, you know, the way like Bram Stoker's Dracula. Maybe it's Dracula's Dracula. Keep going. I'll recognize it the second I see it.
That might be out of print.
I'm telling you. It was a good
We're
one.
We're going man. Deep in here. That thing is out of print. O-O-P.
It was a Scholastic book.
You might have got the last one.
Guess why I picked this book. It looked like that one, though. On the Dinosaur Dracula, whatever that one is.
Oh, yeah.
The reason I...
Hilarious.
So the reason I picked this book is because it was a book that I was able to fake in like fourth or fifth grade as a book report. I had made it all up.
Just by looking at the pictures?
I looked at the cover, and then my sister was like, yeah, you should read this. I was like, yeah, sure. Like, I was just trying to like act like, you know, it's my middle sister, not my older sister. And I was like, what is it? She's like, the Vampire's Day of Christmas. Like, all right. So then I just made up all this stuff. And the teacher was on to me. The teacher's like, that's not what this book could be about. I was like, too creative. I was more creative than whatever this crappy book was about. And so the teacher was kind of on to me. And then I like threw this big stink and I cried. And I was like, I read it. When I was like in fourth grade. So when I actually learned to read, I was like, all right, we're reading the Vampire's Day of Christmas.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
right.
It was kind of like a full circle thing.
Kind of like getting your fucking high school diploma. By doing a gym test.
At age 36.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. I'm 46. I'm going to do that same goddamn test.
We're doing
with
it together.
You.
Yeah.
So what else did you read?
I'm trying to think. There was like these like little kind of like workshop books that you would probably do with like your daughter or something. Mm-hmm. Like it was just like you have to fill in the sentences. But those were books. I count those. If I'm like trying to catch up to people
that
read books.
All that reading and writing is all part of that. What was the
first? Then Judy Carter.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the first challenging book you read? Like, you know, in high school, they... That's what I'm saying. How
the
fuck did you get
a vampire who stayed for Christmas? Did you not hear what I was just ranting about?
It wasn't so much the words I had to read. It was the concept that really got to me.
I'm a grown man going,
but wait,
why doesn't the vampire just get rid of all that crap on his face, get regular clothes? He could stay the whole goddamn year, I think.
Valentine's Day is just around the corner.
Yeah, what's going on? And then she's like, let's just read the book, man. Just read the book.
Now I forgot what I was going to ask you. I had a real question to ask.
The most difficult book?
Yeah, I want to know the most difficult book you read.
Since then?
No, the first one that you read where it was... this is what I was going to ask you, and this is why. Like, we had to read Huck Finn, Tom Sawyer. How did you get around all that shit? And then do reports about it.
Yeah,
handwritten
just
reports.
People would just do my shit for me. It was great.
They just wrote the whole report and everything?
And I had like kind of a good like social theory about it as a kid. I was like, I'll just be friends with everyone. The popular kids are pretty exclusive, right? But that's a small group. I'll just be friends with everyone else. And so one of the, like, and I'm like that.
We used to have to read Shakespeare out loud in class.
Where'd you go to school?
Just in Maryland.
Shakespeare?
Yeah, we had a Shakespeare
class. I don't know.
What,
and
you had to take that part of English.
My school would like, be like a teacher would just be like, I'm not feeling so good today. Let's watch a movie. And you're like, all right. Like, this class is good.
I'm starting to see why you didn't learn how to read
through
your 20s.
Yeah, it was a crappy school.
We're going to put Goonies on, guys.
That's what it was. And then, like, sometimes the movie would say bitch or something. We all, like, giggle. And like, oh, that was the highlight of the day, is that the teacher didn't notice. I don't know.
All right. So most challenging, first challenging book you read, was it something like that? Did she make you in this class? Did you have to, like, Harry Potter or some anything?
No, I didn't read none of that crap. Later on in life, I don't read that stuff.
I don't either.
Yeah, I always think to myself,
the Twilight series.
And maybe it's because I got a late start. I won't read any fiction because I'm like, I'm wasting my time. I got to learn stuff. I got to catch up and learn stuff. And if I just like listen to some like fantasy book, like we didn't learn anything. That's just like a great story. So like I was big into like biographies. Like I read like Hank Aaron's biography, or like, which is actually in hindsight pretty dense, because it's just like a timeline of like things that happened.
You also said you're a big documentary guy.
That's how
too.
I do all my learning.
Yeah.
So like if you ever talk to me and I like start sounding like I'm real smart, it's just because I watched a few documentaries about that subject. So there was, whenever Netflix first started streaming, which must have been, can't remember what year that must have been, but I was living in LA already, but I would watch one documentary a day. That was like my rule.
Okay.
And it wouldn't always land on that day, but like if it came to Sunday and I had only watched four, then I need to watch three more. I need to watch three on Sunday, or I didn't make my like personal goal. And so by doing that, I was very unbiased about what I'd watch too. I'd watch a political documentary. I'd watch how our school systems are in shambles. It's one called Waiting for Superman. Or like there's one about Pulling John. It's just like arm wrestling documentary. And it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And now I know about all these arm wrestling guys and stuff I would have never learned about, and they probably wouldn't have taught me in school. So you kind of like, you can kind of like teach yourself nowadays, I feel like. And then Ryan Stout has turned me on to, you had him on?
Nope.
Good guy.
Yeah, I love Ryan Stout.
He turned me on to, like, on iTunes, they'll straight up just have lectures from professors for free on iTunes University.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's insane. So, like, I've been listening to a ton of that stuff.
Like, their version of a TED Talk, but just from university.
Yeah, and it's all on there. And it's all free. So, but, like, I mean, you're not going to get credit. You're not going to get, like, a degree. But, like, you're going to be able to learn. It's pretty cool. The problem is the thing I'm learning is that the more you learn, the more angry you get about the world. That's why I'm so happy. Every time I learn something, I go, ah, shit, I wish I
would have
learned that.
You were a lot happier when you didn't know how to read.
Yeah. Even now, people go, he's always so happy. It's like, I think it's because I'm dumb. Like, because like, I'm just going around going, isn't everyone great? Aren't all these people great? And people are like, I'm kind of a shithead. It's like, not to me. Cool shirt.
So have you ever confessed this to your parents? Did you ever finally come clean about? It's so funny. A lot of people come out of the closet. A lot of people have shit they have to confess to their parents. You had to tell your family that you didn't know how to read for 20 years?
Me and my parents don't talk much. And
But do you read together?
No. We don't do nothing together. But here's the thing. My parents...
You don't read together, you guys?
My parents have heard me talk about it in my act recently, because they like came to like a show that I did at Spokane Comedy Club.
Because literally, you just recently started talking
about it. Yeah, in the last few years.
Okay.
Because before then, actually, you could probably find me on podcast being like, you know, pretty standard. Just went to school, grew up, started comedy. But like the truth is that like it was shitty. It was weird, and it was kind of a weird ride, but I've seen my mom and dad in the audience when I'm talking about it. And I think that they just think I must be making up
exaggerating.
Well, they don't listen.
He always loved fiction.
That's how my parents, do your parents come to your shows?
Well, my dad died when I was 16 and my mom just started coming, yeah.
So my mom and dad watched
me. My mom loves Tom Segura. She goes to his shows.
That's
it's her favorite comedian.
Now that you're opening for us, she goes to your shows. No, we're here for you, honey. What time's Tom get on?
What's Tom
get on?
How much time are you doing?
I'll be getting a drink. What time's Tom on? I'm gonna take a shit and then I'll come see the rest of the show.
Did they ever ask you about, did they ever question you?
No.
Hey.
My parents watch my stand-up comedy like this. Like, my mom is just, like, doughy-eyed with a smile. Like, oh, that's my son. I don't think she understands any of the jokes. And then my dad just looks at me like, that goddamn liar. Because, like...
making me look bad, man. He knows how to read.
No, but, like, so for when I first started comedy, did you ever, like, subscribe to, like, if it isn't true in your life, you won't write a bit about it?
No.
So, for example, if this is the example I heard on a cassette tape once, was that if for a joke you needed to make your dad's right arm longer than his left arm, even though it isn't in real life, but for the joke that makes sense, would you write that joke?
That I wouldn't know. But I'm saying
you wouldn't change that detail for a joke.
For if it was necessary for a great joke, yeah, I don't think that's a big deal.
Yeah,
I guess.
You wouldn't care.
I think as long as this is just my opinion and one person's way of doing a thing that thousands of people do, I love it all rooted in truth.
Right.
But I'm a big fan of hyperbole and exaggeration and all that shit.
Yeah.
Like, I like similes and metaphors
and all
that stuff.
Yeah, that's why
I
like your comedy, because you're telling, like, stories that are, like, really
funny. But if that was the case, to make that a better joke within that story, yeah, I would switch the left to the right.
So when I first started, this is why I said that my dad watches me like that, liars. Because when I first started, like, if I needed to make someone racist in the joke, guess who's racist?
That's a little different.
Old dad's racist.
That's way different than the other arm is shorter.
So... like, I would be like, my dad's completely bald, but he's got a big bushy beard. It's almost like half of his head gave up and the other half is like, mm-mm, right? So not only is he a racist, yeah. I made him bald.
He's not bald either?
No, none of that's real. It's all for the jokes. And so my dad would just be like, my friend Al went to your show a few nights ago. He said you called me all these names. And I was like, yeah, that's true. You know, like,
yeah,
I just completely called him dumb a million times. But yeah,
he doesn't say please stop doing that.
He doesn't give a shit. No, I never even met my grandpa, and I have like a whole bit about how my grandpa's racist. I changed it to grandpa.
Is he there?
Who?
It's your grandfather. Do you have a grandfather?
No,
still alive?
I've never met him. He's like dead.
Oh, okay.
And so like, but I changed it because I was afraid people at my dad's work are gonna like be like accusing him of calling him racist and stuff.
Today,
so like, I'll just change it to my grandpa. I've never met.
That really would.
But nowadays, my jokes are more honest. I'm telling more things about real life. That's probably why I'm more successful now. But like back then, I didn't get anything went. If I needed a joke where I have 12 sisters, I got 12 sisters.
Yeah. What now when it comes to reading, is there anything that gives you trouble or anxiety or what do you struggle with when it comes to reading?
I just see things reversed. So that's a problem.
Oh, because you do have dyslexia. Right?
Yeah, so...
because I just recently, I'd say within the past year or two, I started putting the captioning on the TV and reading.
Oh, it's great.
Not on sports, but on like anything on Netflix, because yeah. I really feel like today everyone's dramatic acting is straight up just whispering. That's all it is.
Yes. It's so subtle.
I'm like, what the fuck is this asshole saying right now? This is crucial here.
I had to do that on Rocket Man.
You know, you turn it all the way up, and then the music's like, duh, duh, duh. Exactly. I'm like, God damn, I'm going back and forth. I'm like, just put the fucking captioning on.
I agree with that. Like, as I watched Rocket Man recently, I didn't know what the hell was going on, because they're all singing around and dancing. And, like, since it's, like, lyrics, I'm like, I don't know. He's dressed real cool, I guess. I don't
There's
know
valuable that. Information in that those lyrics that you don't know what
the fuck's
being
said. Since they're telling the story, like, I put the captions on. I was like, oh, this is way better.
Yeah,
I actually know
better.
What the song is saying. Yeah. But I should consider doing it for everything.
I was going to say, do you do that now? And just that'll
never
just have
about
you.
Doing
just
that.
In general, you'll practice reading by default.
Sounds
Plus,
exhausting.
You'll hear it, too.
Yeah.
It'll just be natural.
I watched Pan's Labyrinth. I was like, what the hell's going on in this thing?
I don't know if I watched that.
That little girl's with a hand monster. I don't know what the hell that thing is. What is that, Hitler? No, that's not Hitler. Just a different angry Nazi.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our sponsor, Hims. Guys, I'm looking directly at you. With age comes wisdom, but getting older can also be a downer in one area specifically. 40% of men by age 40 struggle from not being able to get and maintain an erection. It happens to the best of people. Look, the guys here at the studio take them. They love them. They're in there right now with boners. A friend of mine heard this podcast, ordered some Hims for himself, called me up, and he's like, Ryan, because there's two kinds. You can get some that you take for the night or for the weekend. He took the weekend, and he's like, it was the equivalent of your bullpen pitcher just being like, as soon as he went, he was sprinting right out to the mound every time, no problems. For Hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness. For men, Hims connects you with real licensed doctors and FDA-approved pharmaceutical products to treat ED. There are well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you combat ED. Prescription solutions are backed by science and made more affordable. It is so easy. You answer questions about your medical history. You chat with a doctor for a confidential review. And if you're approved, the products are shipped directly to your door. Being your best means performing your best. It's erectile without the dysfunction. Hard made easy. Say hello to your little friend. Try Hims today by starting out with a free, that's free, online visit. Go to forhims.com/honeydew. That's forhims.com/honeydew. forhims.com/honeydew. Prescription products are subject to doctor approval and require an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds if you went in person to the doctor's office or pharmacy. Remember, that's forhims.com/honeydew. Now let's get into the show. Okay, so all of this not being able to read, I mean, the insecurities, making the jokes, yeah. Obviously building the foundation to become a comedian.
Yeah.
What was it like dating? What was it like trying to go out with girls when, like, wouldn't you go to dinner? You didn't know how to read a menu. Like, right. What was this, all that like?
Well, you go, you got burritos?
Sir, this is an Italian restaurant.
Exactly. Be like, ah, fuck it, I'll have the California roll. Like, no, we don't have that either. But again, what just happened is something I would really do, and then the people would go, he's hilarious. They would just think I'm being funny.
And then to come over and go, and here are the specials, and yeah, read it for you.
I second see the waiter it. Comes, like, ah, yeah, just the check, please. They're like, that's not how this works. But for real, like, I would, I had a lot of troubles with girls growing up. Which is crazy because I was like a late bloomer. So I was like super thin. I had like big old braces. I had like floppy hair. And I was like the funny kid. So if you'd ask anyone I went to school with, they would have said Jeff was the funniest kid that went to our school. But there was no girls being like, oh, I would have dated him or, oh, I liked him. That was just not a thing. I've spent my whole life trying to be the guy I am now. And now I'm the guy I am now. And everyone's like, look at this douchebag. It's crazy. I would have killed to be this guy growing up.
That's the truth. If you'd have told 10-year-old Jeff this and that.
The whole role is reversed. Everything about comic books growing up because there was no, I didn't have to look at the words. I could just look at the pictures. So I was like obsessed with comics. And all the girls are like, you like comics? I was like, no, that's stupid shit, you know? But like now, I'd have crushed it as Jeff then. It's like the whole thing's been reversed. Everyone's like, what?
You have sports? What about baseball cards? None of that?
Loved all that stuff. Yeah,
could you read that stuff?
No, I didn't read it. I just looked at the...
Just the numbers on
I'm really
the back
good with faces
stuff.
Because of, I think that too, like, I think it's maybe like made my other senses a little bit better, but I'm really good with faces. I once was at a Godfather's Pizza. Bobby Walcott had only played for the Mariners for like 2 weeks, got called up for the 1995 Mariners wild card series, right? And we were at Covington, Washington, which is like an hour outside of Seattle. We're at a Godfather's Pizza, and there's this doughy-eyed young kid named Bobby Walcott sitting with some hot chick. And I went to my mom and dad, and I go, I think that's Bobby Walcott. And they're like, sit down, shut up. There's no Mariners at the Godfather's Pizza. So I just got out of the booth. I walked over to his table, and I go, are you Bobby Walcott? And I think I probably got him late or something. He was like, yeah. Yeah, I am Bobby Walcott. And like, he was like so happy. It wasn't like, get out of my face, kid, like Jay Cutler or something. Right, it was right. Like, he was like, I am, but he couldn't believe it. He walked over to the lady. He got like a Sharpie and he signed my Mariners jacket. And my parents looked at me like, we got a real prodigy here. Like, but it's like, no, you're sitting with the dumbest kid in America who just knows faces really good. But yeah, so baseball cards helped with that and like all that kind of stuff.
So girls, we were talking about dating and stuff. But you were a late bloomer.
That's the thing is like, I was a virgin to, I've used this line before. I was a virgin until I was 21 and people go, oh, that's weird. Were you like religious or something? Like, no, there wasn't a lot of pussy being thrown my way. You know, it wasn't like people were like, oh, let's have sex with that skinny, weird braces kid who won't shut up and stop making bad jokes. You know? Mm-hmm. So
everybody in the book club was fucking though, you know?
Yeah.
If you'd have been in the book club, you'd have got
band some camp. You know, like, isn't that a thing? Like, band kids are like hypersexual. Even like our special needs kids at the school were like banging in the bathroom. That's
bless
true.
Bless them.
Each other, not
yeah, no,
not
yeah.
teachers or nothing.
That would be
not
all
younger students, terrible. But you know, like each other.
So you with dating?
Yeah. So I had a lot of trouble, and then when I got to high school, my sisters gave me kind of like one of these like makeover things, right? Oh, not to mention we were very broke growing up. So I had really poor clothes. I didn't have like good clothes.
But you said you weren't religious, but weren't you?
A little bit.
Because you said earlier, your leadership guides. Or
yeah, my Young Life.
Young
so,
Life.
So, but that was until after high school. I got into like Young Life.
But
so
you're still
I probably,
a virgin at that point.
Right. I probably could have had sex after high school. I probably could have figured that out, found somebody who would be willing to do that. But by then I was so indoctrinated with like church and Young Life, which was like post, because it made me feel like I had a purpose. with that, that they were just teaching me like sex before marriage is bad and God. Right. So then standard, now I finally could probably have sex, and now I've got like guilt. But because I was such a late bloomer in that, I didn't do nothing. No hand jobs, no nothing. Everyone else was at least doing that stuff.
Were you just wet dreaming all over yourself like every goddamn night?
Well, but that's the thing. Think about this. How many of your friends in high school admitted to masturbating?
It's funny you ask that. So in middle school, we, you know, a lot of us did it, never talked about
right.
it. High school, later, 11th, 12th, you'd talk about it. College, people are just bragging about it.
Right.
Like he's just walking down the hall with his dick out.
That's
like,
the thing. You got, you're in junior
too comfortable,
high school,
man.
They made it sound
you're
like
too comfortable.
You were a freak if you were masturbating.
Right.
But they were all masturbating.
Everybody.
And I wasn't. I was like, yeah, man, freaks masturbate, you know?
I got to jump back
cool
and ask
guys
a very
wet
quick.
The bed every night.
I got to ask this question. What did your parents do? Because we're talking about you went from high school to the young life, it's called. You never graduate. Your parents didn't be like, fuck that, you're graduating. They never forced you to graduate?
So this is how hippy-dippy and cool Seattle is. This is one of the positives of being like a soft, like liberal, is that they let me walk. So they're like, we don't want to humiliate him. Let him walk.
For real?
I got to throw my hat up, do that,
with
all that
the same
nonsense.
Kids you were supposed to graduate with?
They didn't want to humiliate me. And they're like, but you need to come back to summer school, and if you can't complete it in summer school, you're going to have to come back next year to get the credits to graduate. And so I was like, yeah. And so then they let me walk.
Kentwood.
Yeah.
Kentwood.
But that's nice, man. Like, and
that
so
is nice.
I didn't feel embarrassed.
I'm
or
saying,
anything.
Let's wrap that high school diploma.
Yeah, and a lot of people who probably till right now had no idea that I even had like this severe of learning disabilities, they saw me graduate, and they went to the graduation,
some of your closest friends didn't know?
No, my closest friends knew.
They did, okay.
Yeah, but like I'm talking about like people, the classmates and stuff like that. But you know what's funny is that I even got in trouble at graduation. So it was so good, though. I was plotting this one. So there's the stage, and then there's the principal, and you walk this way, you shake the hand, you get your diploma. This person walks that way, you shake it, and they said, everybody, they made an announcement to all the senior class. Like, they said, listen, senior breakfast or whatever, they go, listen, nobody is to pull any shenanigans. and they were like pointing me out, like, Jeff, we're serious. Like, nobody can do anything, because if you do, it'd be really insensitive to someone that is getting their name called. All their parents are waiting for their name. And if you do something, then maybe their parents are going to miss that name of the next person. So be respectful. I literally, the second they called my name, you're supposed to walk down these big steel stairs that lead down to the middle area. So I get my diploma, they say my name. Nobody cheers. Mom and dad. Mom and dad ain't there. You know?
They're not. They didn't
come. They don't care. They're working, man. And so then I get to
for
the,
real?
Yeah.
They didn't come to your fake graduation?
No, they don't care.
Man, that's some bullshit.
I get to the middle. I get to the middle, right? I raise my diploma up in the air, and I just let my body go limp, and I fall down every single
stair.
Are
you serious? Fell all the way down?
Dude, and I'm like bleeding. It hurt a lot.
You're only in the D's.
Yeah, it
hurt
a lot.
There's so many more people.
Just this whole, like, I fell for like an hour. I was like Mr. Bean. And then teachers actually came to like my aid. They're like, oh my God, are you okay? Is everything all right? I was like,
the kid that can't read fell.
Yeah, they didn't know that. But it was great. And actually afterwards, the girl that I had a crush on's parents, the girl I had a crush on thought it was stupid, and she thought I was a moron for doing it. She hated me for that. But her parents were like, thank you, man. We were bored to tears up there. That was like the best
they're
thing.
Thanking
yeah, you. They were like, it's just a bunch of kids' names. It's not hard to graduate
right.
high school. Unless you're me.
I was going to say, for some of us,
yeah, but that's
not.
How he thought. His daughter was super smart and hot.
So we talked about dating. You said you had a pretty, well, it might be the most embarrassing moment of your life.
It was actually. Definitely my most embarrassing moment. I'd say till that. Yeah, I think it might be still my most embarrassing moment. So I'm really insecure with girls, right? And I asked this girl who's older than me to go to homecoming. And I liked her a lot. Her name is Jennifer Marshall. Right? She's a beautiful girl. She's cute. She was older than me. She had no idea I was a nerd in like the older grades because I got the little makeover from my sister. So she's like, oh, he wears the same Abercrombie shirt every day, but he's cute, you know? And I had like a haircut, got my braces off. I'm feeling like kind of fly. So then at homecoming, right? She drives me, right? She's older. I don't know how to do that.
That's tight.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're 10th grade. She's 11th grade. That's a good one. Yeah.
Oh, cool. We had a limo before that, but then after the thing, she gets her car and we go to like a diner or something, you know, corny stuff that kids do. And so then she's driving me home and I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, like I think I'm going to kiss her, you know? So like, here's the problem. I'd only kissed my sisters and my mom before that point. Those are the only girls I'd ever kissed.
You mean right? Like the cheek and stuff?
Well, like when I was real young, I kissed my mom on the lips and then, yeah, like on the cheek from then on. And what would happen is my mom, she would always make us kiss each other. She'd be like, kiss your sisters goodnight. So I'd kiss my sister on the cheek. I'd say, I love you. I'd go to bed, right? And that became like the only, you know, thing I knew. So we're in the car. And I'm like, it's like slow motion. She's like, all right, well, I guess I'll call you tomorrow. We can like hang out, go to a movie. And I was like, okay. And then I was just sitting there. I was like, all right, what is happening? So I just like bolted in to kiss her, right? I kiss her and I go, I love you.
Oh, no.
I finally kiss a girl. I dropped I love you on her.
But in your defense, you did fucking love her. It was your first kiss.
I know.
Like, whatever you fucked up fought
was
love
real.
Was at
it
that
was
moment.
Real.
That was genuine and real. It was. It sure was.
I didn't. Just telling
it's
the story.
It's certainly not the definition of love.
Mortifying.
But I can see why you would love the shit out of that girl.
Yeah. It was so humiliating. And then we broke up, like, the next week.
Did she say anything in that moment or just stay silent?
She looked at me like I was a mutant. She's like,
what?
Like, what does this chimp just say? He loves me. It was so bad. I remember going home too. Like, I remember the walk to my house. Like, was all fast, nerdy kid would do.
God.
And then I get in my house and I close the door. And then I gripped like the sink of my bathroom. And I just like looked in the mirror, like, you idiot. I can't. Like, I lectured myself.
I hate you. Yeah. I love her, but I hate you.
Yeah. What are you thinking? You got to play it cool. Remember, Janny said, play it cool. Oh, it was so awful.
Was God damn it. That is embarrassing.
It's the worst, man.
And then you have to go to school.
What about you?
Were
you like, you were...
No, I've definitely done that before. I've talked about it openly.
Yeah.
I've told girls I love them and everything. But I'm saying, that's why I feel you're like, at that moment, who the hell? I still don't know what the fuck love is. But I'll tell you what, at that moment when I said it, I meant
absolutely.
It. I felt it. And I fucking believed it.
I think of that all the time. Like, I'm wrong very, very often. But I'm never not well-intentioned.
Yes.
I think in my entire, as long as I've been alive, I think even when I've been so wrong, I really was.
It's not from a malicious place.
I don't think I've ever been mean to anyone.
Right.
I'm always like, hey, be my friend. I'm like a dog, you know? What I was going to ask, though, I was going to tell you is that my buddy Randy, he's like a good friend of mine. He's a comedian guy. And he's telling me stories about childhood so different than mine. That's why I asked you just now. Like, that dude had no childhood. He was like doing drugs and like having sex
with
chicks.
Isn't that
blow
you? I've had people
ninth
come
grade.
On.
And
yeah,
you're like,
seventh
what?
Grade, smoking weed, doing acid shit. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, maybe that's why I like life so much. I'm like still like this.
That's why
is
I love
the
comedians
wild
so
part,
much.
You know,
that's why I love comedians. There's so many of us, and everybody's so fucking different.
There's a girl I know who has a 3-year-old daughter. She's very, very famous. I won't say her name, but her daughter, because she probably doesn't want me talking about her kids. But her daughter is one of the most alert, smart. Like
she reading?
She's probably. This girl's probably like already graduated. She's 3 years old. She's like the smartest girl I've ever met.
She's got
met.
More credits than you.
Yeah, she was like present. She was like so aware. She knew like choreography and like dancing. She could be one of these like Broadway kids. And I was just sitting there just being like captivated by this kid. And maybe I'll just speak for myself. I don't know if you can identify with this. I was like in a fog till like fifth grade. I had like Kool-Aid stains on my lips. I had no idea what was going on.
No.
I was just like going through life going, ugh. And I remember like one day I just kind of was like, oh, I guess I could kind of think for myself. And that was a late in life. This is a 3-year-old who's already like not like that.
I certainly got life quicker only because my parents split when we were in like third grade. Trouble started happening. You know, we knew my mom was cheating on my dad. Like they couldn't
keep
that shit quiet.
Those are like big things, yeah.
So right away you start, everything starts speeding up.
Yeah.
You need to react. You need to respond. You also are, you're taking in just little, you know, a line or two from this 30-minute argument that they're having in another room or whatever. But I was never, I was on the honor roll and I was in accelerated classes, but I was a 3.0.
You had mechanical pencils, didn't you? You were a mechanical pencil guy.
Math was my weak subject. Okay. I was always terrible in math. But I would get a 3.0. I was a straight B student, but that was honor roll.
Mine
was
like it had like letters in it and stuff.
Letters.
It was like a 1.H.
But my daughter, she said something to me a few months ago. She looked at me and she goes, Dad, is there a final number? And I go, what a fucking question. Like, you're already smarter than me.
Oh, I'm like out of all the numbers? That there, just blew my mind, actually.
I'm 46.
You should see my face when you just said
Here's
that.
Here's the thing. I've never
just, what the hell is she talking about, final number?
I've never thought that.
Whoa.
Is there
out
a final
of all
number?
The numbers.
And I said, no. That's the definition of infinity.
It's 10.
Like Buzz Lightyear to infinity and beyond. That's how I explained infinity, too. So I got that one out. But I was like, God damn.
Without Toy Story, how are you going to work
never,
around that?
Never. Would have never happened. Without four Toy Story movies, it would have never happened.
Tim Allen as a spaceman.
So, this is obviously a difficult one for me to even ask about, but outside you told me something that I didn't know about your sister. Are you really comfortable talking about that?
Yeah,
can
of
we
course,
please?
Because yeah.
I think this is such
she
a
was,
huge issue in
she
our society.
She was my mom figure, you know? So like,
is this, you had two sisters. Is this your older sister?
Yeah, this is my oldest sister. And often you'll hear me reference that I have three sisters, and it's because I have a third sister who was not, she's not part of our family, but she's always been so close to our family that she's, so I consider her daughters my nieces. I consider her my sister. So sometimes when people ask me, I say, I have two biological sisters, but like in my act, I'll be like, I have three sisters. And it's really, I have one that's not my sister and one that's passed. Mm-hmm. So technically, one real sister left, two, I don't know how to answer it. But anyways, I lost my oldest sister a few Decembers ago in a texting and driving accident. Yeah,
I'm so sorry. I had no idea. How old was she?
So let's crunch the numbers on this. I'm 36. She would have been 42 now, and it happened a few years ago. So she was 40.
40?
Yeah.
What happened?
She was talking on the phone to her like fiance, and then like, you know, she's distracted.
Was she holding the phone?
Yeah,
up,
she's holding. She's distracted. My sister also was like a horrible driver too. So like, there's that. That's what's funny. Like my dad texts and drive. I'm like, you're not good at driving or texting. Why are you trying to merge these worlds, you ding dong? But my sister, so she was on the phone with her fiance, which is awful because he heard it.
And then
a van full of people hit her, but that driver was texting. So they're both just distracted drivers. It was a nightmare. I remember being
he
at a coffee shop. Yeah, because she was like talking.
Where were they, on the highway?
She was like, it was like some weird road in Oregon where like it's super dangerous, but you're supposed to just kind of from a hard left, just or hard right, I guess, get onto the freeway. So these people are going like, you know, 60 minimum.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Right, or like 100 most. And you're supposed to just go from zero to get back on. And if she obviously wasn't paying attention, just like her car was just immediately crushed. It was the worst thing. Definitely the worst thing that's ever happened to me because, one, she was like a mom figure. And we were really, really close. She was like my friend and my ally. Like, she was the only person I know, like, when I had no money, right? And she had no money. She would still find a way to give me like $300. She would be like broke. It wasn't like if I give people money now, it's like I know it's not going to hurt my mortgage or like any of this stuff. Whereas like she had nothing and she would still be like, here's $200. And I'm like, thank you. Like this, she was one of the most thoughtful, best, sweetest
Where
people.
Where were you when you found out?
I was at a coffee shop in Burbank called Coffee Commissary.
Daytime, nighttime.
And I actually had to go there the next day and apologize. Because, and they obviously were like, dude, you don't have to apologize to us. Because I think I freaked them out. They know me. I go in there every day. I write. And I just, when I got the phone call, they were like, hey, I think your sister just died in Oregon.
Who said this?
I got a call from a police officer.
Really?
And so I stood up.
Is it daytime, nighttime?
It's probably like 6 p.m. I'm about to go to like the Improv in Hollywood. And it's like, and I'm writing some stuff. I get that call. I stood up and... because she said we haven't confirmed the identity, but it might be your sister who's died. So I stood up. It's the weirdest thing. I went to the barista. just because that's the closest person to anyone I knew that was in that coffee shop. And I didn't know him that well. And I go, I think my sister, and I like couldn't say it. And he's like, yo, what's going on? And then I just walked outside and I threw up in the street.
Oh my God.
And then I came back in and he goes, you okay? And I go, and I just like grabbed my shit. I put it in my bag and I got in the car and I like just drove home. I kept like calling people because I couldn't get to the bottom of it because my parents don't talk to her. And, you know, she's got a strange relationship from my sister at
the
time.
But you didn't call them either?
Well, I didn't. I knew they wouldn't have any information. So if it wasn't really my sister and they maybe have like a wrong identity, I didn't want to like freak out my parents, especially since I don't talk to them that much. And so it was really, really scary and I didn't know what the hell was going on. And then I later got a call. I went out. I didn't know how else to handle it. So I like went to a comedy club.
Did you do the show or you just
drinking.
Hung out?
No, I called my friends. I say, hey, can you come hang out with me? And my best friend, Justin and my best friend Dave, they came out. And I told them what's going on. So then we were ordering whiskey and they're like, maybe, you know, maybe it's okay. Like, maybe it's okay. And so then we went to like this like red carpet thing where I had to like go. I didn't have to go, but I wanted to go. And everyone there was so shocked. Like it kind of became like this little gossipy thing. Like Sarah Pantera and all these other girls were like, dude, I think his sister like just died like tonight. And he's out here pretending like everything's okay. And then I was a mess for like weeks. And luckily my ex-girlfriend at the time, she was my ex already. We were dating prior, but she was really cool. She's not like, she's obviously my ex now, but she was my ex also at the time, but she was mature enough to be like, he's gonna need someone to work through this with. And she was really cool about it.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was awful. So but what happened? My first Tonight Show set, you'll see me wearing like a lapel has her birthstone on it. And that was like kind of like me, like, you know,
that's awesome.
Giving a shout out to her.
I wore, when I did my first network, it was Late Late Show, I wore my dad's work jacket.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wait, what did that look like?
It was a Pan Am crew chief jacket.
What's a Pan Am crew chief?
Like a old airline jacket, oh, like cool. A work jacket.
Did you reference it?
No, I just wore it. Actually, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. I didn't wear his jacket. I wore his shirt. It was a work shirt.
Nice. Yeah.
I wore the jacket on this not too long
ago. I love stuff like that.
It's great. I love that you... Oh, there you go. That's what it looks like.
Oh, nice.
That's exactly it, yeah.
What Google Ryan Sickler...
How much is that thing worth? How much is that... About 185, something like that.
About 100. I'd like to listen to you on a show like The Price is Right or something.
I have that jacket too. Yeah, that outdoor jacket too.
About 40.
So who gave you all the details? Who told you what it was and texting and all that?
Yeah, which was really uncomfortable.
And were you like her emergency contact maybe? Is that why they called
definitely
you?
Definitely not.
Really?
Yeah, I think that they called her fiance and then he told them to call me. Because the thing is, like, she had a pretty crummy relationship with my family at the time. And so, like, we kept in touch for sure. But the, she was kind of, she lived wild, man. She had, like, she's at peace now, which is nice. But she was, like, you know, always living in different places and, like, kind of, like, burning bridges. She went to the Clink for a little while. Like,
she did? Yeah, for what?
She lived embezzlement.
Really?
But here's the thing. She had a wild life. Like
that's
like,
where she was getting that 300 every now and then. Yeah.
She was bad at it, too. She'd love this story. I don't feel like I'm speaking ill. Dude, listen to this. She was a paralegal. Uh-huh. Right? She's like a paralegal for this lawyer. And he loved her because she's great. My sister's such a likable person. But then she, you know, but she was broke. And broke people do desperate things,
yeah, they
you
do.
Know? And it's not, it doesn't make it okay, but like that's just like how she lived, man. She was wild. And so she would... She literally, like, one day she just rolls up to my, like, crappy little place I'm staying at the University of Washington, and she's like, she's in a Corvette, like a brand new Corvette.
What?
And we're like, "Where? How'd you afford that?" She goes, "Come take a ride." And, like, it's got, like, the hologram of, like, the speed limit, like, on the windshield. And I was like, "This thing's awesome." She's like, "Yeah." And then she's like, "You should see my new place I'm renting." And we go to her place. She has a tanning bed that she had just bought in the place. So, like, if you're going to embezzle, you got to, like, lay low. Like, you can't
the whole
be...
Goodfellas thing. De Niro's like, don't fucking show it off. Yeah. Bring it back. Bring
did.
It fucking back.
These are my Fabergé eggs full of cocaine. You're like, no.
Here,
you shouldn't have
throw
that.
One of these against the wall. Watch how these shatter.
It was like that, man. She would just, and so she got caught immediately. Like the guy's like, let's investigate this.
Yeah, I mean,
it wasn't subtle, you know, it was just like, just heaps off the top. But, and so she naturally, she got in trouble. She had to go to jail for that. And then when she got out, she was kind of sad because
how long was she in?
She actually got to do a cool one where they like, you get to stay like a house.
halfway house.
Yeah, because she's not like a threat to society. Which I hope if I ever do something, they let me do that.
Group home it. Yeah,
it seemed easy.
Yeah,
she just like has free room and board.
We had a wrestling coach that worked at one of those, and my brother and I and another kid that wrestled all lived near that.
Yeah,
because it was right next to our middle school. And in high school, he would drive us home in the correctional van, but you can't get out from the inside. You know,
old were you?
We're like 14 or 15, but we're just getting a ride from him.
But I could picture you guys fucking and be like, hey, they can't mess with us back because they got two strikes.
They can't
know?
Do shit. You can't get out of those damn van. He's got to get out and let you out. So you can't just bust out and run whatever the fuck you want.
Bolt like a dog.
He took all the kids. He's like, you ain't getting out of this.
It's amazing.
Like, goddamn.
Yeah, she was wild, but it was definitely the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
And also, at her funeral, you didn't reconnect with family then,
and
dad?
And it was awful because I had to like pretend like we were all, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Because when people die.
But that didn't bring you together.
No, it should have.
Yeah.
In fact, it brought us farther apart because there was all this like resentment of like misremembering history a little. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So like they're being like, isn't this real sad? It's like, dude, you guys were never, you know, so there was a lot of that. I've let go of it all, to be honest. As far as with my parents, like I don't hold them into contention.
But they weren't just devastated the whole
time?
They
were. I think they're still really, because I think in the back of their brains, they think
the regret that would come with that.
Oh, someday we'll reconcile. And some, but like that someday never came.
That's why you don't,
because it just happened so suddenly. It's not like she was sick or anything. It just kind of happened on a whim. And so they have to live with that. I actually just got to mourn, and I get to tell fun stories about my sister and brag about her all the time. Whereas like they're still dealing with it because they never, they can't even properly mourn it.
It's also therapeutic to talk about it, you know, especially in your art, you get to do that, and that helps.
Well, my sister lived like a comic, man. My sister lived like a pro wrestler or some shit. Like
a pro wrestler.
Like, every week something would happen, you know? Yeah. She's like, one time, this is a good story about my sister. She was dating this dude named Ryan, right? And Ryan worked at the same warehouse as me. Yeah. No, and Ryan's a good dude. We would work at this warehouse, and he was just the best. Because at the warehouse, you don't need a high school diploma or anything.
Love the fucking criteria.
They would just be like, can you lift things?
And can you read? No. Can you lift shit?
That's all it was. So I worked at these warehouses, and that'd make some good money. And so, and Ryan is the one who got me that job because he was dating my oldest sister. So anyways, Ryan's with my sister. I leave. I come back for the holidays, and I'm crying and moping because I was dating this girl at the time. She was Playmate of the Year. She was
we're going to get
Sarah
into
Underwood.
Turned around.
I went from having no money and living in like a car, right? To literally getting on Last Comic Standing, moving to LA, dating a playmate, and having money. So it was quite a transition.
Yeah.
And I was pretty reckless about
it. For a guy that couldn't read, didn't date, didn't do well with
lived
girls,
in a car.
Lived in a car.
So I literally, when I got to LA, it was all this new thing, kind of like you're explaining about Segura spending all that money. You know,
it's a problem.
Just going like this. And I'm like, I'm partying at the Playboy Mansion. Like it was insane. It was like literally insanity. But I was not very faithful with my. With my MySpace messages or flirting with other girls in situations when my girlfriend wasn't around. I was kind of new to it all, and I was reckless with it. So me and her would have these like off and on, very like high highs and low lows, breaking up, getting back together. So during one of those, I come home for Christmas. This is a true story. I come home for Christmas, and I'm like feeling sorry for myself and being all pouty, and even though I know it's my actions.
Because the playmate you're dating is not working out.
We broke up. Yeah, right. And I was like, ugh. You know, it's just so hard, and like she doesn't understand. Like I don't know this lifestyle, and blah blah blah. And I go, all right, well, anyways, you know, we're broken up, but like, what's going on? How's home? And then my mom goes, oh, Ryan, Janny's boyfriend, he went blind.
What? Just like that? What? You have so nonchalant. Yeah.
I literally was complaining about how I.
Your playmate
couldn't
girlfriend.
Make it work out with my Playmate of the Year girlfriend. And it was my fault. Like, I was trying to get, like, sympathy for something that I did with, like, a Playmate of the Year. And then my sister's boyfriend just lost his whole vision.
What happened?
He had a brain tumor that he didn't know he had. And he was not telling anyone because he was, like, neglecting it or embarrassed. People do that all the time.
Yeah, it's
and
your
so,
reading.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You just think, oh, I'm not dealing with that. And
so he knew he had it?
No, he didn't know he had a tumor. He just knew he kept getting headaches.
Okay.
And he would like periodically lose his vision for like, you know, 30 seconds at a time. But he didn't want to tell anyone. He just hoped it wouldn't happen again. And then like 2 months later, it would happen again. And the tumor was growing, growing, growing. And then the doctor said there's like zero chance that you're going to, you know, once he figured it out, because he lost his vision for like a whole day. And so he was like, once he figured it out, he's like, I got to go to the hospital. I lost my vision for like 24 hours. And so then when he went to the hospital, they were like, all right, you have a tumor. the odds of you surviving the surgery are really rare. But you know, we'll do our best. We'll try to get it out of there. So he goes under. He
just surviving the surgery.
Yeah. And so because they told him the odds of his death were like so high that when he got out of the surgery and they're like, we think we got it all, you're going to live, but you'll never see again. That was like good news to him.
He
was like, dude, at least I get to, you know, be alive. Cause we were all like, what? You're blind now?
Right.
And so, yeah, I saw him and he still had the scar and he's like, he's learning how to like live his life without vision. But
and
I just thought it was so fun.
Completely blind? Like,
completely,
like,
100%
blind. Does he need
blind.
A cane?
No, but he, oh yeah, he has
dog?
The cane.
Does he have
he's
a dog?
He's actually a genius in this too, is that he created his own system. For Christmas, all he asked for was little bolts and then magnets. And what he would do is he would glue the bolts into the magnets.
Okay.
Or glue the magnets into the bolts, like those small ones that are real strong. And then he made his own like system of where he would go. So like he knew he had to get to the bus stop. He can't drive anymore. So he would find steel things along the way and put these magnets on it. So if you saw the magnet, you'd think, oh, that's just a bolt. There must be a bolt on the other side. You wouldn't think to remove it or even check to see if it's magnet. So he would, for the next days.
The path, like that was his breadcrumbs?
He would be able to know that, oh, this is the right bus stop because here's the bolt that I placed. And so it was really genius.
He would just place them on his path so he'd be able to touch.
In like a lot of key places. Like sometimes he'll put them even in like, you know, I'm trying to think like, I can only think of bus stops right now, but like let's say it was like a restaurant or something outside of it. He'd be like, oh, I've eaten here before. Here's like one of my bolts. That's like the really weirdest thing. But he was
great.
He was an interesting guy. Like he was like when he I don't know if I should say this, but he was like not real faithful to my sister. And then when he went blind, he was like Mr. Faithful. You know, and it's like, well, of course.
Yeah, right. You could be a 2, you could be a 10. I have no idea.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I don't need a caregiver. Now I need a caregiver.
That's all I
anymore.
Need.
Yeah. And my sister was so selfless and like took care
She's
of him.
She's like,
she was
peeling out in the Corvette.
She also secretly liked it too because she was like, oh, this is great. I don't have to worry about like my image issues as much because I'm with a guy who's blind. So she only saw the positives. Great lady. And then he broke up with her.
Nuh-uh.
Do you know how psychologically devastating that is?
That's got to be awful.
To be broken up with by a blind
guy? A guy who used to be able to see, now is blind.
Who
helped
wipe
his
ass. And now he's like, I met someone else. What?
How? Did he really?
You're blind. Yeah, yeah, sincerely. He was like going to these blind school things because he still wants to like be a teacher. And you can still do that if you're blind, for sure. And so he met a girl.
I've seen the Hello video.
Isn't that insane?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine being broke up with by a blind person?
But did he leave her for like another blind woman that understood
his
problem?
I don't think so.
I'm trying to make
it. She probably
just
felt hotter. I guess. I don't know. She was devastated. I was mad at that guy for a long time. Because I was like, I've done things in relationships that like I deserve to be judged for, but this is pretty low one. Never done that.
I want to talk about your turnaround
and
your dating life now, because as you mentioned, a playmate. So, I mean, you're like comedy's fucking Chachi. You're past his number of playmates, I believe. So,
yeah.
How many you've dated playmates and playmate of the years, correct? Yeah. So, do you mind giving your numbers here?
I'm hesitant to start this because... Because there's no way to talk about this without seeming like a douchebag.
I'm asking you to talk about it.
And two, I'm aware of how douchey this will sound.
But look, coming from a kid who had the insecurities you had with dating and then not being able to read and everything else, I just find that fascinating.
Yeah.
Because there are so many guys that didn't have any of that would never have the confidence to even talk to a play. If you saw a play, maybe like, I'm not even going to go over there.
And I think that like,
so
I'm not
douchey. I'm asking for informative reasons.
I'm not naive that my looks obviously help in this department. I get that. I don't want to make it sound like it's all being funny, but I do think being funny helps.
Of course.
And then also, I like doing stuff with the girls. That's not just sex. So like people are like, oh, how'd you have sex with her? You're like, well, we just hung out a bunch. And then I made her laugh all day and then she wanted to have sex.
Right.
But like sometimes I'll hang out with a girl and like if she just wants to eat and like go do fun stuff and hike and have fun, I'm not sitting there going, I hope she has sex with me after this. And then because I didn't try to have sex with her, she thinks I'm like this real sweet guy because she lives in LA where everyone's just trying to have sex with her and inviting them over at like 11 p.m. And so then in their mind, they go, oh, this guy's really nice because he's not trying to fuck me. So I think that's a secret cup too. Just spend the time with them and then make them laugh.
Put the time in with the ladies.
Exactly. Hang out with them. You don't always
be nice
to
them.
You don't always got
to
be fucking them. Yeah. You know? But If we're, but it's been said that my sexual resume is more impressive than my comedy.
How do you feel about that?
I dated Ashley Roberts from the Pussycat Dolls for a little while. I dated a few Playmates of the Year, a lot of Playmates, just regular Playmates.
Just regular old Playmates.
Fern Cotton, who's like the Ryan Seacrest of England. She's like a Radio 1 presenter. Dev Brugman for a little while. She's from Bikini A Day. She's gorgeous.
How are you meeting
all
these
women? Girls' boyfriends and husbands now are probably not going to be crazy about this little link, but this was just a flash in the pan. You know, you don't have to worry about
it. How are you meeting these women?
Internet. You know, because people treat like, you know, like if you ever heard like a Chris D'Elia or like one of these guys act like they're better than Bumble or like Raya or any of these things, don't let them get away with that. Because we just treat our Instagrams like that. That's what people do. Like, I treat my Instagram like a dating app. I go through that. That's why if I ever get like a serious girlfriend or wife, you know, she better just deactivate my Instagram. That's why my dad's never cheated on my mom.
Because he has Instagram?
Not because he's never had the opportunity.
Right. Yeah.
My dad's never like gone home from work and someone's like, hey, I love the way you cleaned that pool. Can I suck your dick? Like, that's never happened.
Hey, Miss August is waiting in the West Wing over there for you. Okay, all right.
It's like let me chat with her. It's just too tough when you're like a funny comedian. You can even bomb some nights, but like a girl in the crowd will see you making 300 people listen to you, and like that's got some sort of power construct. Is that what it's called? Power construct?
I'm not sure. I don't have anything power. In my life going on like you do.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know. Please.
You're doing like theaters full of people.
For Tom Segura, who has unhealthy spending habits, it's a problem, sorry. Guys.
Yo, we need to give him a little intervention.
He needs an intervention.
A little money intervention.
But you're saying you just DM them or something, these girls?
Yeah, like
or
I'll,
they follow you? Or
they'll
you follow
me, I'll follow them back,
they see
and then
you
I
do
start
stand
like a conversation.
Up
I dated Becky Lynch for almost like...
Who's that?
Becky she's Lynch. The number one pro wrestler like in the world.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's awesome. Great gal. She's from Ireland. She's cool. She's engaged now to this guy that fucks girlfriends named Seth Rollins.
What? I don't know any of that.
That's a people will like that joke. He's a pro wrestler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think there was some overlap in me
I
and
see.
Her dating, is what I was
oh,
suggesting.
Oh, I see.
But also, I can't
sounds
confirm
like
that.
Sounds like they might
but,
know what the hell
yeah,
you're
exactly.
talking about. No.
You know the bad part about dating a pro wrestler?
What?
She's a female. Not everyone watches pro wrestling. I imagine if she walked in here right now, you might even not even know. But wrestling is such a big community that we all know.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't presume everyone in public knows pro wrestlers and pro wrestling. So she goes in the ring. She's getting all bruised up and getting shiners and nicks and bloody lips. And
then people pull her
and then
like,
we walk around
help?
In public holding hands, and everyone's going, I was like, no. No, I didn't do
that. I'm the
that.
One that needs help.
No. Ric Flair's daughter did that. So I look like the worst liar in the world.
Right, yeah. Like, okay. Like,
what?
Okay.
I just have to lie again. Just like, ah, she fell. She falls a lot.
And you've dated how many pussycat girls?
One.
As a pussycat dolls?
Yeah, Ashley Roberts.
You dated one.
Yeah. I worked with Nicole Scherzinger on a show, so okay. There was some sort of whispers of that. But
oh, I see.
I wish. And then I'm trying to think of what I guess like that, but that's a pretty good gamut.
I mean,
models,
that's,
wrestlers,
yeah, for coming
playmates, regular girls.
So
yeah,
yeah
I love my life.
For those guys out there that have trouble with ladies, you
be funny.
You be funny. So, listen,
and be nice. That's the secret.
That's it. Confidence. A sense of humor and just be nice.
Right. And Nikki Glaser actually on her new special kind of talked about it. I think she's probably maybe making a joke for like a misdirection, but I think what she said is true. Is she's like, you know how powerful a compliment is?
I saw that when she said
it's
that
true.
Guy walked out. She's like, hey, you were pretty funny. She's like, oh my God, thank you. I'm going to do this for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I'll do this forever.
Yeah.
Which is, I agree with that. We like, and I do it with like even men in my life. Like, I'll compliment like a stranger knowing that like made their whole day. Like, mm-hmm. You can just say nice things to people and it's really powerful. Like, just telling a comic, like, hey, I watched your set. I don't know who you are. My name's Jeff. That was really funny.
Yeah.
That goes a long way.
That's how we met.
A young comedian.
That's how we met.
I went up to you and was like, yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I said, I don't know if you have a manager.
You got me a manager.
Yeah. And then I recommended my manager. And he's one of the best.
He is one of the best, no doubt. Yeah.
Shout out to Justin
Silvera.
Do people ever ask you, like, oh, who else? Or they ever say, like, who's he with? And you're like, it's just his own thing.
Yeah, I'm like, just him.
Yeah. I like that better.
But he used to, you know, get in the whole whatever, used to be with these companies, that, you know, that kind. And once you're in this business a while on the, that side, the way we're in our business a while on this side, you start realizing these people ain't shit.
Yep.
I can do this on my own.
Yep.
Let me just do this shit on my own. I already spent 20 years making the contacts and the connections and shit.
I like a guy who invites me to his house for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Like, I trust that guy. I don't like an agent who's like, oh, I'm not replying for 3 weeks because there's some Jewish holidays and then I'm taking my kids to Machu Picchu. You're like, what the hell? What is your life?
On your commission.
I just asked you to submit me to Conan. I didn't need you to, like, it's like the weirdest. But, like, Justin's here. He's grinding. He's working.
Yes,
he's got beautiful daughters, beautiful wife. He's like a nice, perfect dude.
And he and I share the same birthday. Isn't that weird?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's weird.
I share mine with some old dude named Jackie Gleason.
Do you really?
Don't know nothing about him.
Come on.
I know he's born February 4th. That's all I know.
That, you gotta be fucking lying.
I don't know much about him. I don't know if you remember, history's not my strong suit.
But you could look at movies. You, like, I'll tell you what. Watch. Look, people are going to yell at me for not giving you the classics.
Okay.
The Sting.
The obscure.
The Sting. Look, watch Smokey and the Bandit.
Okay.
Just watch Smokey and the Bandit.
I've heard of that before.
Sheriff Buford T. Justice is one of the funniest fucking comedic characters in movies.
Okay.
That guy is so perfect in that movie.
I'll watch it this week.
And we'll talk about it. We'll break down how great he is in that and why, because he's phenomenal. But then, of course, The Sting and all that stuff.
Okay. Know? I don't know he's this
I think he's in The
relevant.
Sting. Is The Sting or is it? I think it is The Sting. Yeah, Jackie Gleason, The Honeymooners. I mean, that's the one that everybody's going to yell at me for. Why can't I say that? The Honeymooners.
If I had to bet all my money that you would know anything about Jackie Gleason, I would have said you didn't.
I'll tell you, his worst movie ever was The Toy with Richard Pryor. It was a terrible movie. The
oh,
Toy.
Really?
Yeah, where he's a rich guy who bought a black guy as a toy for his kid.
Holy
that
crap.
Shit wouldn't even get made these days.
You know what's interesting is they always say, you know, I just watched for the first time, what's the movie where Richard... It wasn't Richard Pryor, but Richard Pryor was part of it. Gosh, what is it called? Where he's the black sheriff in an old western town, an old white western town. Blazing Saddles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just watched
that. Well, he rode on it. He wasn't in it.
Yeah, he wasn't in it. Yeah,
he was supposed
like,
to be.
He was representation. Like, they used him to like say, like, hey.
They said he was too abrasive and offensive at the time, they thought, for him to be in that movie. So he rode on it.
Why don't they make that movie now? Everyone says you can't make that movie now.
I just went and saw it with Mel Gibson at a Q&A just a few years ago at the Comedy Festival downtown. He was 90-something. He was running around that fucking stage. He was amazing. He
Wait,
was
who
amazing.
Was?
Mel Gibson. Or,
I was going to say, yeah, you said Mel Gibson.
I did say Mel Gibson.
I can't picture him running around or being 90. He's not going to make it to 90.
Mel Gibson.
He was
punching Jewish people.
Yeah, he's accusing
shit,
cops of being Jewish. Have you ever seen a cop and been like, look at this Jew? Like, that's not a thing.
Just walking
That's
up.
How far down the wormhole he was.
Yeah, he was way
but just a cop harassing him. He's like, these Jews again? You're like, it's not a famous position that cops hold.
But Jackie Gleason's a legend, man.
I'm gonna
Eddie Murphy,
I had no idea.
You, as a student of comedy, and Eddie Murphy, comedian, he does a whole Jackie Gleason, Honeymooners.
Really?
Yeah, imitation, impression. It's fantastic.
Well, like, I'm late to everything. Like, just so you know, everything. So, like, my buddies.
Well, Honeymooners was black and white. It's pretty late.
I know,
you're coming
like,
in real late on that.
What's the, so, I'm trying to think of how long ago this was. My best friend in the world, Justin Downing, I call him Justin Bailoff. He's a really, really great guy. But he was like, dude, have you ever seen Mad Max? And I was like, no. And he goes, dude, you'd love Mad Max. And I was like, what does that mean? Because I don't like these like smart movies that are like artistic and like you'd like, well, it was about this, but it's really about this. And I don't like that kind of stuff. It's too much, man. Like I need something with like a jet ski on fire.
You'll love Smokey
like,
and the
like,
Bandit.
Shooting,
you will
like,
love Smokey and the Bandit.
Chick
it's just
like,
a Trans Am jumping all over the
I
fucking
love
place and he's chasing it.
That's what I
it's
like.
It's perfect.
Yeah. And my buddy's like, dude, you go home tonight, watch Thunderdome. I was like, all right. And he was right. It was fantastic. And then he goes, all right, tomorrow I'll watch Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze. And I was like,
it's a great one.
Loved it. He goes,
ripping
all right,
throats
the
out.
Next day you're going to watch They Live with Roddy. But now,
best fight
my
scene
friends
in a movie
did
ever.
My friends did these movies for me. They were like 20 for 20. Like just going, we know what you like. It's going to be mindless, just monster trucks and like people, you know, badasses and stuff. So I'm trusting your recommendation. Jackie Gleason.
The man.
I'm excited.
Speaking of the man, you are the man.
Thanks
I want to say,
me,
yeah, thank you for being
you.
Here. This has been really, really great. And thank you for opening up. I'm sorry about your sister passing. I mean, that's a lot of tough stuff there. But that's an important thing. Texting and driving, like we talked, it's more dangerous than drinking, driving, anything out there.
It's the
days.
Most dangerous time to drive.
Yeah, be careful. It really is. Right now is the most dangerous time to drive.
Because drunk driving used to be like a nighttime thing that maybe like five cars were out there. You had to watch out. But like now, Every teenager's on their phone.
And on pills.
Yeah.
And on their phone. Yeah. All of it at once.
And legalized weed.
Yes.
So now you're texting while you're high. Yep. Going, no, it's my medicine. Yep. I need to drive and text and smoke.
Be careful.
It's wild.
Will you please one more time promote anything you'd like?
Yeah. Go to my Instagram, at Jeff Dye. Figure out where I'm going to be to come see me on tour. I have a Patreon. And if you subscribe to my Patreon, which is Patreon.com/Jeff Dye, you get free tickets to all my comedy shows.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I comp everything if you're subscribed to my Patreon. And then you can also watch my podcast by being a subscriber. Jeff Dye's Friendship, which we got
to
have you on, man. Please.
Yeah, I'd love
please,
to do
please,
it.
Please, please.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Thanks for coming on. You're great.
Thanks for having me.
I am Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. Talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.